So we want to welcome all of you, and especially those that may be listening online later on this week. And but we are glad that you're with us today. And a little bit later on, we're going to be continuing in our series, Living in the Goodness of God. And we're going to be talking a little bit about empathy today. Empathy. So let's stand this morning as we begin our service and join together and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Well, let's join together there for our call to worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for God is very great. God stretches out the heavens and rides on the winds.
In wisdom, God gave each of us
to. From the rising of the sun to its setting,
God's name is to be praised.
Let us praise the Lord together. We're going to turn in our hymn books to hymn number 650. I love to tell the story, and or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. And we are going to sing three verses of that this morning.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else could do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. The hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory, to the old story of Jesus and his love.
Well, let's join together there this morning for our opening prayer. Praise be to you, O God, for the wonders of your creation. You bless the earth with its seasons and each creature with its lifespan. In this hour of worship, breathe your spirit into us once more to inspire us to serve you with creativity and commitment and with honesty and humility through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And you may be seated and you can turn to our next hymn, hymn number 589, or you can follow along. We're going to be singing verse 1, 2, and 4 this morning. Oh, Jesus, I have promised. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor I'm going to invite our kids to come down this morning.
We just have two this morning, don't we?
Good morning. How are you doing this morning? Are you not awake? Not really. Well, I want to talk to you about something this morning. And so I'm going to begin by asking you this. So sometimes when you feel like crying, do you ever feel like it's because of something down in here? Okay. So why is that? Why sometimes does it feel like it's something down in here? Because it's bothering you? Sometimes, maybe, you know what? Okay, well, let me ask, why do we sometimes cry? What do you hear?
Loss of happiness.
Okay, loss of happiness can be true, yes. That can happen. What else? If you get hurt, okay, so there might be somewhere in your, you know, on your body, somewhere where you get hurt and you cry.
When you get a paper cut?
Well, you might cry when you get a paper cut. Or if you get hit in the nose. That makes me cry every time. If what? If you're sick, yeah, sometimes we do feel that way, don't we? Sometimes we cry when we feel like we don't have any control over something that's going on in our life and we can't really fix it, you know. Now, let me say this. So have you ever had a friend who was crying and you felt bad because of it? I think that's the expression we sometimes use. I feel bad that they're crying. Now that doesn't mean you're bad, but it means that's just an expression we use. I feel bad for them. Or I hurt for them right now.
Can we understand that I'm not bad?
Okay, well that can be true at sometimes. But there's something called empathy. And I keep forgetting to do that every Sunday, don't I? Somebody's got to remind me before I sit down to have to keep trying to get up. There is a thing called empathy. And empathy is when we feel what someone else is feeling. No. My gosh, not voodoo dolls. No, where did you even come up with that? Okay, let me tell you a story. When I was your age, fifth grade, I was out messing around on the farm machinery, elevator, and this will tell you how smart I am. I didn't know you could just crank it back and it would go down. I flipped the thing and it went. So I was trying to control it because I was messing around, cranked it up. I thought, oh no, Grandpa, no, I cranked it up. I better let it back down. So I flipped the thing that kept it from going backwards. And then it got out of my hands and it went boom, just like this, and dug a big hole in my head right here. While I was on the ground and I got up and I was like, whoa, what happened? I lost control of that. And I started to walk, and all of a sudden, blood started running down on my hands. So I'm going up, and I'm kind of hollering, and I open up the door, and I'm hollering, Grandpa, Grandpa! And my grandma Aper comes to the door, and as soon as he saw me, he's like, oh! And he started crying. What was he doing? He was feeling what happened to me. That's empathy. Feeling what someone else is going through, that's empathy. Compassion, then, is when we act on that empathy and we help to do something about it. Immediately, Grandpa got Dad. Dad came over, my dad. Dad came over and they took me to the emergency room. Sometimes we see people hurting. Our friends at school, or maybe one of our friends at school is crying because something happened, and you go over and give them a hug. That's empathy. Empathy is you felt something for them, and then you went and put an arm around them. That's compassion, because you act on that. Jesus says that when we live and walk in God's goodness, we are empathetic. In other words, we feel for other people. It's the opposite of pure selfishness. And Paul tells us that as God's choice, holy and loved people, we are to put on compassion. In other words, we're supposed to go when we see somebody hurting and help them in whatever way we can, however that is. And that could be a variety of ways we can do that. Sometimes it could be by talking to them or praying for them or putting an arm around them or giving them a hug or giving them a phone call. For you guys, it might be texting them, or something of that nature. And that's something that we should never forget. I think we practice it, but we don't know maybe all the terms. Is when we feel for somebody that's hurting. Or we can also feel for them when they're rejoicing, too, and be happy for them. Okay? All right. guys, can, if you're going down the stairs, you can. And we're going to go to our time of prayer this morning. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning as we go to prayer today. Somebody. Well, let me share something here before we get into all this. I just wanted to ask for your prayers for the Bear family. Some of you may know this, a lot of you may not. Mike Bear ended up passing away last night, just shortly after 11 p.m. He was battling a blood infection. His kidneys were not functioning. Just so many things going on at one time. And just when Betty called me yesterday afternoon and said something about it and asked to be have him put back on the prayer chain, and I found out then that it was confirmation of the blood infection, sepsis, how serious that was. And they couldn't keep his blood pressure up and his heart rate up, and his body just gave out. So we want to keep Betty and Mike, or Roger and Andy in our prayers, and the rest of the family. I know how difficult that is for them right now. And I was just talking to Betty a little bit ago, and she said, we thought no better place to be than with our church family. And and I'm sure after the service or later on downstairs, you'll get to share your sympathies and love with them. And but we want to remember them, and we'll be letting you know more about what'll be happening in the future and everything. So someone else this morning. Go ahead.
From the prayer group, I think I've been so busy this week with prayers. We have Matt and Debbie Lee. They both have COVID. Matt has been very serious. And then Barb Thomas's nephew and mom. Her mom, Olive, needs a heart valve replacement, and she's filling up with water, where Brandon has been serious with COVID. And then Bonnie, how did she do?
She's doing well.
Good. And Priscilla's really sick. She does not have COVID.
Okay, wait, okay, so I'm getting confused. You may have to start making a copy and giving them me that before the service, because I've lost track of what was going on here. I don't know who Barbara's somebody.
Barbara Thomas's mom is Olive.
Do you know her name?
Olive.
Thank you. Yeah. Brandon, okay, I got him down with COVID. Olive is the one that had the heart valve, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, all right. And then Phyllis was having...
Priscilla,
okay. Got you. Thank you. Sorry, I sometimes can't always hear what... Okay, so lots of there, Matt and Debbie. I don't know, some of you may know Matt. He serves on the Christiansburg Fire Department. Debbie's his mom, both battling COVID. I had heard that it was real serious there for a while with Matt, but I've heard that he's doing better. He's not yet. He went back down again. See, and that's the thing with that. Yeah, it's almost frustrating when we're battling that thing. So we want to remember them, Olive, Brandon, Priscilla, battling bronchitis or pneumonia or something there. Definitely want to keep her in our prayers. Yeah.
The family of Earl Smith.
Okay. So we want to remember the Smith family with the loss of that loved one. Someone else? Anybody else?
I think it's her medicine she's saying. She's just not feeling great. I know she's here. She keeps going, but
Okay, thank you for that. You know what? If she's not feeling good, somebody can replace her and let her go home if she's, yeah.
She won't do that.
I know. Like my dad was that way and my mom, they never said much about, you know, they just kept going. Anybody else this morning?
Priscilla, she's really sick.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
And she got tested last week. She's fine, but it's a blessing that she don't have it. But she's really, really sick.
Yeah.
And they would not give her medicine until she got tested.
Ah, okay.
I don't understand our system today, but now she's on medicine. I don't see anything better. I didn't run anybody because I didn't have myself.
Yeah.
So I was staying clear of her.
Well, I've heard some things of some bronchitis going around and a few other things. But yeah, and maybe she happened to get that. But I know sometimes they're not sure about how they want to treat it because sometimes they'll treat those things with a steroid, but you don't want to use that. I think you don't use that on a COVID because I don't, yes.
I think she's on penicillin.
Okay, yeah. So she's on some kind of antibiotic. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's definitely keep her. Yeah, that's, and we definitely need to keep her in our prayers this morning. Anybody else this morning? Any other? Yeah.
My dad was released from the hospital on Monday and went to Brookdale to get some rehabilitation. Unfortunately, I think there's been a delay in that. But he fell this morning sitting on the corner of his bed. Took him to the ER. The facial and head CTs are clear, and they sent him back to Brookdale.
And appreciate your continued prayers for him, Bruce, this morning. Continued prayers for Georgia. I finally got a response from her after multiply trying to call her and never answering. She said that when she gets up to do things, she still feels real weak and has some issues with breathing at times. She said, she told me she's got to drive to the end of her driveway to use her phone to listen to the service online. Yes. But God bless her. But she needs continued strength. She just says so I was glad to hear from her finally. And continued prayers for Betty Kirk. And we'll be finding out, I think, in December, some of the results of the radiation treatments that she had. And anybody else? Yes. Okay, so we want to lift up Mike as he's recovering from that hip surgery. And we want to continue praying for Dennis. I don't know if you, yeah. And as he's, we'll probably get him on the monthly. He's battling cancer, isn't he?
And he won't get into the cancer care center until December 1st.
Okay. Any other than, Richard, we want to continue praying for Richard. I did not get to talk to him this week, but we want to continue praying for him as he's recovering from that surgery. Any others then? All right, lots of needs there this morning that have been mentioned again as she plays. Give you a chance to pray for some of these, and then I'll come and close us out. Lord, as we pause today, we are so grateful that you are the mighty God and that you care for us. You are the great shepherd who watches over us and cares. And even when we face the various things of life, you understand. You know what that was like. Jesus, you are the one that suffered and experienced death, that we might experience life. And we're thankful today that we know that you understand. And today we lift up loved ones and friends and people that we know that are in need today. We lift up the Bear family today, God, asking for your comfort and peace. For the Smith family today, for your comfort and peace. May you wrap your arms of love around them and be with them during this time. We lift up Olive to you and Brandon, God, and Matt and Debbie, those that are facing the COVID and all these different things. We pray for Becky with this medicine and adjustment and what's going on there. God, we pray for Bruce with his fall and ask for further strength. For Betty this morning, God, your touch there. And for Mike, and who's recovering from hip surgery, and Dennis this morning, and God, is battling cancer and waiting to get in the treatment place there, Lord. And Lord, we lift up especially Priscilla this morning, Lord, who's battling this pneumonia and really, really sick. Lord, we ask for your healing touch for her today, your grace and peace. We lift up Richard as he's recovering, God, today. And any others, Lord, for Georgia, as she is continuing to need strength with everything that she has gone through. God, we just pray for each of these, that you will just touch them today with your grace and your hand, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, for your blessing on this rest of this time of our service as we break the bread of your word. May you speak to our hearts and encourage us. And then bless our time as we share with the cookout and our fellowship time and eating together. Lord, may we find strength from not only the food, but also from our time of sharing together. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to watch over us. We continue to lift up our first responders and all of our doctors and the different ones that are working behind the scenes, the medical personnel, our firefighters, all of them. Lord, we think about our men and women in the armed services, Lord. And God, we just continue to lift them all up to you and ask that you would continue to watch over them. Continue to lead us and guide us, to use us to do your will, Lord, we pray. And be the people that you've called us to be, to extend your love to those that are in need. As we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining with us for prayer during that time today. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And we want to thank you again for your faithfulness. And we know that God is the one that takes care of us. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Thank you, God, for your generosity that enables us to share. We dedicate our offerings to you and to shaping our community as you intend in the Spirit of Christ. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from two passages. Since our two new readings today are a little bit longer, I'm going to forego the Psalm 31 and 1 Peter 2, kind of our base passages that we've been using, and look at these two main ones here. Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were troubled and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The size of the harvest is bigger than you can imagine, but there are few workers. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers for his harvest." How great is the goodness? Oh, I guess I didn't take that out. I'll skip that. That is Psalm 31. I apologize. And then Colossians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Put on the new nature, which is renewed in knowledge by conforming to the image of the one who created it. In this image, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, a slave or free. But Christ is all things and in all people. Therefore, as God's choice, holy and loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with each other. And if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other. As the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. And over all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in God's sight. Our rock and our redeemer, amen and amen. Well, when little Susie was 7 years old, her mom took her to her first benediction service. She watched transfixed as the older boys lit all the candles. All of a sudden, her mom whispered, "Do you know what's going to happen next?" Yes, little Susie wisely responded, "Is Liberace coming?" Just the little things there. I have a few of those I thought I would share about sometimes what kids say. As we continue on in living in the goodness of God, I want to talk to you this morning about it involves nurturing empathy. Nurturing empathy. You probably heard this statement before that says, "You may be the only Jesus someone ever sees." You may be the only Jesus someone ever sees. There may be someone in need of something. They may need something as simple as a smile, or a phone call, or a little money. And you might be the only example in that moment of Christ's love to them. And so with that in mind, let's look at, for just a few minutes, at nurturing empathy. When the Apostle Paul said that we are God's masterpiece, as we looked at last week, created anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things, empathy is kind of like that aspect of us that undergirds all of that. Because the only way we are going to do good things is if we are moved like Jesus was. Remember back a while ago in the series where we read the Acts passage where Peter was preaching and he said that Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by the Holy Spirit and went about doing good wherever he went, healing the sick and delivering those that needed to be delivered. And so let's look at this a little bit, and I just want to focus on two things this morning. First of all, Jesus embodied empathy. Jesus embodied empathy. So I was trying to explain to the kids a few moments ago about the difference between empathy and compassion, and I'm going to highlight that again because I want you to see this here. Empathy is the ability to feel what someone else is going through. In other words, to enter their experience. I can remember my freshman year in college in Minneapolis, Minnesota, on the campus of North Central University, walking down to several blocks from the campus to stand at a bus stop. The very first time I had ever gotten on public transportation in my entire life. I was a little nervous at first because I had never been really in big cities except maybe in Columbus during the state fair. That was probably the gist of my big city life there. And I'll never forget when I saw some of those middle-aged Native American men standing on the corner begging for money. And in that moment, my heart went out to them. Well, they asked me, and I gave them some money. But after talking to some friends on my dorm, on my floor, they said, it's probably not good to just give them money. Because they'll collect enough money, and then they'll go buy a big bottle of whiskey or whatever it is and drink themselves to nothing. So the next time it happened, this guy was a little younger, and he asked, and I said, yeah, come on. And we walked around the corner, and I took him into a little shop, and I bought him a loaf of bread and a package of lunch meat that had four different types of lunch meat in it. And he was grateful. He was grateful. Now, that happened several more times my first semester in college, and I really believe God was testing me to see how I was going to respond to people in need. And my heart at times would go out for people that were in need there. And it was almost as if God was going to see if I was willing to put myself in their situation. Empathy is the ability to feel someone else's pain, what they are going through. In other words, to see ourselves in their shoes. It's like when someone, when we're hurting or we're going through something and someone comes along and they says, hey, Jason, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you right now because I have been there. I know what you're going through. There's something in that moment that makes a connection between me and that other person that said that to me. Because they've been there and they've been through it and they understand that. And you know what that means too. I don't have to explain that very much. We all understand that. When somebody comes along, because they do know what you're going through. And thank God for people that God brings into our lives that's there for us, even though they don't know what's going on. Now, saying that about empathy, let me say this about compassion. Oh. Compassion is the outworking of empathy. Now, I think sometimes we think it's one and the same thing, but it's really not. And I did a little research this week and was looking at that. Now, the Greek word for compassion means it's something that comes from our guts. That's what I was trying to get the kids to think about. Was there ever a time where you just felt like it was way down in here and you just hurt for somebody because they were hurting, you know, or you felt it, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen somebody break a leg or hurt themselves at a athletic event or whatever, or fell off a ladder or whatever, in that moment, you just, it hurts. It's like you're hurting because you're empathizing with them. But compassion is the outworking of that empathy. Compassion is the emotional response that moves us to action. Now, we're not told a lot about Jesus empathizing. There are a few places in Scripture that tell us that. Most often we are told that Jesus was moved with compassion. And that tells me one thing, that Jesus does empathize with us. And when he saw people hurting, he was moved to action. 10 times in the Gospels, we are told Jesus was moved with compassion. And each time it tells us that, it says that he did something. He either healed somebody, he fed them, whatever else, you know, there's other things that he did. So Jesus didn't just feel sorry for us and say, oh, well, that's too bad. You'll just have to get through it on your own. No, his compassion moved him to action. And when Jesus saw the multitudes, there was something deep within him, that love that moved him to heal the sick and feed them. Compassion moved him to action. Jesus was moved and embodied empathy. Okay, second thing I want us to see. What about the church? What are we called to? We are called to nurture empathy. We are called to nurture empathy. Why is that? Well, if we are a people of compassion, as Paul talked about there, compassion fuels walking in the goodness of God. When we walk in compassion, we are walking in the goodness of God. We are extending God's goodness to others. And guess what? That will come around. You will be shown mercy by the mercy you show. Do good to those who persecute you, because it'll come back. Or the most famous one is, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, a lot of times we hear that and we think, oh, give money. Well, no, he just said give. If you give love, guess what will eventually come back around to you? Love. I think there's a passage in one of the wisdom writings, and I can't remember which one, if it's Proverbs or what it was. It basically says, if you want to have friends, you got to be friendly. Hello? Yeah. So all of that is a part of it. And here's what I want you to see, is that Paul reminds us that we are to put on compassion. The seeds of compassion and empathy took root in us when we were united in Christ in baptism, and now they have to be nurtured. Because we know, even after experiencing Christ and being baptized, if someone comes along and hurts us, if we feed that wound, guess what can shut up? The bowels of how we feel on the inside. Or as someone, others say, we've heard these expressions, we grow cold or we grow hard towards other people. Jesus in the Gospels told his disciples when he was preparing them for what was going to happen when the Romans came in and took and destroyed Jerusalem in 70 CE, he said, don't be on guard, because your love can grow cold in the midst of those situations. And it reminds us that sometimes we need to nurture compassion in our lives. In fact, I think it's something we need to nurture daily. And as followers of Christ, we have a compassion radar. A compassion radar. Think about that for a minute. And I've seen this in my life in so many times, and I really believe it began when God began to test me in those times to see how I was going to respond to people or ignore them. Because such a radar makes us alert to the needs of others. You might call it promptings of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever just felt something within you just say, you need to call so-and-so? Or have you ever just felt like, I need to help so-and-so right now? Or whatever it was. And because I believe that that radar is a part of us. It's been put in us by God. I believe it was even put into us by God when we were created in God's image. But I believe it gets expanded when we're in Christ. And such a radar sees every person as God's image bearers. They don't only have to be our friends. Because we see people, even if we don't like them, or we disagree with them, that they're still made in the image of God, and God still loves them, and it challenges us to move and act on their behalf. So, here's what I want to close out with. When God puts love and compassion in our hearts towards someone, God is offering us an opportunity to make a difference in that person's life. We must learn to follow that radar. Don't ignore it. Act on it. Someone may need what we have. Don't shut it off. Let compassion flow so that God's grace and love can flow through you into someone else. And if we're going to enjoy the goodness of God, we need to put compassion on and say, God, open my heart and my eyes to see people who are in need of your love today. We never know what a phone call, what a text, what significant words may mean. Hey, I was thinking about you. I hope you're okay. It makes a difference. I'm pausing a little bit because when I said those words, I started to think of how many times people have said that. Pastor, I was praying for you today. I don't know why, but I just felt like I needed to. You just never know. All of those words can turn someone's moment around, day around. For some, could turn their life around. The hands and feet of Jesus, being Jesus to someone. It involves nurturing empathy. Amen. Amen. Well, we can stand for a few moments before we sing our little chorus. You can say hi to a few people, and then we'll go ahead and close right out and sing our little chorus here, hymn there, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Go ahead and close out with hymn number 337. We're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 4. You can follow along there. Bless be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. We share our mutual woe, our mutual burden bear, and all for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we are called to part, it gives us inward pain, but let's join together for our benediction. Go forth to serve the Lord with gladness. Be at peace and bring the good news of God's love and peace to all whom you meet. Amen.